Let's pray for the Spirit's presence in our reading, in our hearing, with our prayer for illumination. Pour out your Spirit on us again, as your word is proclaimed, that we may be faithful to our baptismal calling, ardently desire the communion of Christ's body and blood, and serve the poor of your people and all who need your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 15th chapter, verses 21 through 28. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. This morning, we have a children's message from our dear sister Petra. So kids, gather around for our children's message.
We're back. 2 weeks ago, we learned about Jesus and his disciples and how they fed more than 5,000 hungry people. That was a really cool story, wasn't it? And we also learned about sharing in that story. Now, there was one thing that we did not talk about. Can anybody guess what that was? We did not talk about the leftovers. In that story, there were leftovers, lots of them. 12 baskets full. Everybody in the story ate as much as they needed, and still there were leftovers. Now, what happened to the leftovers? Today's story is about the leftovers. But first, I'll tell you another story, a little story about my son. So my son, he likes to bike to school. I think it's a little bit dangerous, so I haven't said yes yet. So my son wrote me a letter with lots of really good, convincing reasons why I should let him bike to school. His reasons are really good and really convincing. Maybe you've tried this too with your mom or dad. When there is something that you really, really want, you try to convince them with really good reasons. Okay? Now that's what happens in today's Bible story. In the story, Jesus is taking a trip. His disciples are with him, and they are going into a town that's not exactly friends with Jewish people like Jesus. And just as Jesus is walking into the town, a woman walks up to him and she calls out really loud, "Master, my daughter is really sick. You can heal her. Will you do it, please?" She's really loud, and she doesn't stop calling on Jesus. Can you imagine that? Like, imagine you and your family, you're walking outside and then there's someone walking behind you asking your dad something super loud and non-stop. It's a bit embarrassing, right? So the disciples, they say, "Hey, Jesus, this woman, she's driving us crazy. Can you just help her, give her what she wants and then she will stop?" Now, Jesus' answer is a little bit surprising. You would think that because he's Jesus, he will say, "Sure," but he doesn't. His answer almost sounds a little bit mean. He says, "I'm busy with the Jewish people. I don't have time for people who are not Jewish." Ouch. But the woman, she doesn't stop. She comes up with a really convincing reason. And the reason has to do with leftovers. She says, Jesus, when a family has a meal, the people who live in the family, they're all fed first. But leftovers and crumbs, they are given away. Or if you have a dog, even the dog might get the leftovers. It's almost like the woman has heard the story about feeding the 5,000 people. And the woman, she needs the leftovers. Her argument convinces Jesus. He listens to her need and he heals her daughter. Isn't that amazing? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you again for stories. Help us to be like the woman so that we don't give up on you and don't stop asking when there is something that we really need. Thank you for healing the woman's daughter. Thank you for healing people still nowadays. In your name, amen.
Thanks, Petra, for sending that in to us today. Well done. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to say something to start today that is about as uncontroversial as you can get. We are divided as a nation. I know, right? It comes as a shock to all of us. We're coming up closer and closer to an election. And, well, let's see, one of our candidates has named a running mate, and instantly there is controversy about the person. Is she the right choice? Is she not the right choice? And you have all of these little scatterings, and people are calling each other names, and not to mention that the way that we vote is causing controversy. Here in New Jersey, everyone is going to get a mail-in ballot. Well, confusion persists. We're not really sure how to use that, or we can't really trust our elected officials to count all of the ballots, or we can't trust people not to vote two or three times, and so that divides us. You know, it's football season coming up almost, and believe it or not, we're not all of the same mind about what our favorite football teams are. There are those who are right, like the Cowboys fans, and then there is everyone else. Mike Hansen, I'm looking at you especially today, Mr. Giants fan. We're divided as a people. We're divided in the church, too. Even within Christianity, believe it or not, there are some things that we haven't been able to agree upon. Almost from the first days of the church, right? We read in the book of Acts where there were some who were saying that certain orphans and widows were not being fed in the same way as others, depending on what your ethnicity was. So the church had to address this. How do we make people equal? The history of Christianity is a series of lines drawn in the sand where if you are on this side of the line, you are in the right, and if you're on that side, you are wrong. And we do this in our lives all the time. We do this with our faith. We do this with our sports allegiances. We do this in our music. We do this in just about everything there is. Social media has made it even worse, right? Because now you can say whatever you want under the cover of perhaps anonymity. And we see these debates breaking out online where people say horrible things to each other that they probably wouldn't say if they were face to face. In our Bible reading today, there's a division among the people. For Jesus and his disciples, they are all Jews. They're Jewish. Not only in their religion, but in their ethnicity. And there's something very distinctive about being Jewish today, certainly, but even more so in the Near East in Jesus' time. There were Jews, and then there were Gentiles. Now, recall from a couple weeks ago, Petra reminded us of the feeding of the 5,000, that Jesus had gone to a remote place because he needed some rest, and he didn't get it. And he continues to seek out rest, and finally, after an argument with the Pharisees about hand washing and what it is that actually makes a person unclean, is it washing your hands or not washing your hands before you eat, or is it the things that come out of your mouth? Jesus says, it's what's in your heart that comes out of you that is sinful, not what you put into yourself. They retreat finally to a remote place again. They're like, all right, fine. We can't find any rest here in Jewish territory. Then we'll go to Gentile territory to find our rest. Now, there's a deep divide between Jews and Gentiles. If you read the Old Testament, there's kind of an inner battle going on in the writing itself. There are times when the authors and the Spirit inspiring them to say, unity is what God desires. But then there are those threads that say, no, but distinctiveness is what God desires and requires. So you have prohibitions for the Jewish people to intermarry and to tolerate differences in others too much. And that's the circumstance that we find ourselves in today's Bible reading. Jesus and his disciples gathered there together. And a Canaanite woman, Matthew tells us, comes to Jesus and asks him to heal her daughter, who is demon-possessed, or perhaps with an unclean spirit, is how it's translated in some ways. Now, this is Jesus we're talking about here, okay? And we all know that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, right? Isn't that what Karl Barth said is like the only profession of faith that a person really needs to know? And we believe that with all of our hearts. And we believe that Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. So when this woman who is Canaanite, not Jewish, Gentile, comes to Jesus, our expectation is that Jesus is going to heal her because that's what Jesus does. People come to Jesus for healing, he heals them. But this time, Jesus does something peculiar, disturbing even. He says nothing. He does nothing. He continues to sit and talk with his disciples. Have you ever felt like your prayers went unanswered? I've never had the opportunity to sit down in a room with the physical bodily presence of Jesus, to ask Jesus for something. But there have certainly been times when I feel like my prayers are not getting out of the room that I'm sitting in. But imagine just being set aside, not even heard. Jesus pretends that he doesn't hear. And finally, his disciples are like, Jesus, send this woman away. Come on, she's bothering us. His disciples believe that Jesus is not going to heal her because she's not Jewish. And so finally, Jesus turns to her and says, I've been sent to feed the Jewish people, not the Gentiles. And then he says, we don't give food to the dogs. I got to tell you, your faithful preacher here today wrestles with this one. Now, there are those who say, oh, you know, Jesus is just trying to teach the woman a lesson, or Jesus is just trying to teach his disciples a lesson in this. But gosh, there's got to be a better way to teach a lesson than to call someone a dog, especially a woman, whoever she is. But that's the mentality for first century Jews. It's settled. This debate is settled, okay? Those who are not Jews are not even people. They're dogs. And not dogs like we have dogs in America, where we push them around in strollers and take them to beauty spas and all this stuff. No, dogs are the annoying mongrels that nip at your heels and get into your garbage. And female dogs, well, there's a word for that that I would get in trouble with the consistory probably if I were to say it out loud here. So I'm going to leave it to your imagination. But that's what Jesus is calling this woman. I don't know. We got to wrestle with this. I have to wonder, is my theology of Jesus, does my Christology allow for Jesus to make a mistake here, to be wrong about something? He says, to the agreement of his disciples, we don't give food to dogs. So, like, get out of here. But the woman, the Canaanite woman, whose name we never find out, by the way, she's only known as the Canaanite woman, says back to Jesus, she persists with him. And she says to him, yeah, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table. She's not going to take no for an answer. And she's not going to leave without having her request granted. Canaanite or not, she says to Jesus, you can call me any name you want, it doesn't matter, I'm still getting what I came for. It's like two slaps in the face, right? I mean, she gets slapped in the face for being who she is, but then she sits right there and gives it right back to Jesus. And what does Jesus say? He says, wow, you've got some great faith. Your daughter's healed. Two times in Matthew's gospel does Jesus say, wow, you have great faith. Once is this woman, the Canaanite woman. The other one, any guesses? I'll give you a hint. It's not someone in his family. Not someone from his group of disciples. Another Gentile, the centurion, right? The centurion who says to Jesus, you don't have to come to my house to heal my servant. I can command my men to go somewhere and they'll go. You can command from here and it'll happen. And Jesus says, I haven't found faith like this anywhere else among the Jewish people. Twice Jesus says, you have great faith, once to this woman, once to the Gentile centurion. She goes away justified. And I think Jesus' ministry actually changes here at this point. A couple weeks ago, we said earlier, Jesus feeds the 5,000. And who are the 5,000? They're mostly Jews. Maybe they're all Jews. They're in Jewish territory. And afterwards, how many basketfuls are filled of leftovers? 12. Perhaps one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. You know what happens after this story in Matthew? Jesus feeds 4,000 people. And who are those 4,000? They're Gentiles. And how many basketfuls are picked up? 7. 7 basketfuls. And, coincidentally, you know how many Gentile nations there are, according to Matthew, in this time? 7. Perhaps this woman shocks Jesus into recognizing that there is faith beyond just the sort of myopic, closed-minded, only my camp is right kind of thing. And if you don't want to allow for that and say that Jesus is just testing his disciples, fine. For them, their eyes are certainly open. Not that it matters much, because a little bit later on, they try to go through Samaria and their way is blocked, and the disciples say, do you want us to call down, you know, thunder and lightning from heaven to destroy them? And Jesus says, you got to be nuts. But that day, something changes. The disciples remember the good news of the kingdom of God is not just for them. And it's not just for their camp. But there are others who are faithful outside of their camp, which I see as a major challenge in our world today. Who are the folks that are regarded as dogs to you? Who are the folks that you're not willing to give the time of day to? The folks who vote differently than you? The folks who cheer for different people than you do? The folks who make a different amount of money than you do? Perhaps more reliant on government services than you are? Folks who pray differently than you, or to someone different than who you pray to? Who are the dogs in your life? Who are the folks that up until this point you have been unwilling to share any of your table scraps with? That's a serious challenge to us. It should be an eye-opening experience. These are teachable moments. You know what a teachable moment is, right? It's that rare opportunity when an opportunity presents itself for you to teach an important lesson right in the moment that might not be taught the same way at some other time, that might not be useful in some other context. But right there in that moment, bam, your eyes are opened and something changes, something different happens to you in your midst. For Jesus and his disciples that day, the encounter with this Canaanite woman of great faith is a teachable moment about the reality of the kingdom of God in their midst. Perhaps it can be a teachable moment for us as well. In this rare opportunity we find ourselves in, where once a week we come and profess that we are under God's command, that we're willing to take our marching orders from someone other than ourselves, or the things that our cultural reality says are important. In these few moments where we gather around a story, a book that we say that we love, and it challenges our thinking. Who are the dogs for you today that God is saying, open your table to them too? As a church, who are the people that we have excluded, either intentionally or unintentionally, that we are called to say, hey, there's room for them at this table too? They're not dogs. They're children. And they belong there the same as you. Or rather, they don't belong there the same as you, except for that you've been invited to the table. The Apostle Paul writes to the church that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In our Reformed faith, we believe in the doctrine of total depravity, which means that we in and of ourselves are totally dead in our sin and unable to do anything meriting righteousness except for the grace of God in our lives. You don't belong at the table, and neither do I. The only reason we get to dine at this table is because Christ has named us a child, a brother, a sister. And if that invocation came to us, then isn't it possible that it came to them too? Let's let the Holy Spirit expand our horizons as a church, individually as members of it, to think about who else has been invited to our family table. There are no dogs in the kingdom of God, except for the real ones with four legs that catch the frisbee when you throw it. Or even the ones that ride around in a stroller, I guess. Not really my thing, but, you know. But all humans are created in the image of God. So loved by God. And perhaps it's time that we looked at our world a little bit differently and acknowledged the presence of Christ, even in those that we might have set aside before. Come to the table, God says. Let's be teachable in this moment. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for this gift of grace in our lives and for opening us to the possibility that we might not always be right, that we might have something to learn from someone else, and that certainly it's the least that we can do to acknowledge their place in your kingdom. So Lord, help us to have that welcome and the faith and persistence of this Canaanite woman who wouldn't take no for an answer. Lord, may we persist in our faith in the same way. Send your Spirit to help us do just that. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today is a litany from the Belhar Confession, put together, written by a former missionary of ours that we used to support, who's now retired, Dave Alexander. Dave and Char were our missionaries to Taiwan for something like 40 years. And this was something that Dave wrote along with the Belhar Confession. So let's affirm it together. It's responsive. We believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who gathers, protects, and cares for the church through word and spirit.
This God has done since the beginning of the world and will do to the end.
We believe in one holy, universal Christian church, the communion of saints called from the entire human family.
We believe that Christ's work of reconciliation is made manifest in the church as the community of believers who have been reconciled with God and with one another.
We believe that unity is therefore both a gift and an obligation for the Church of Jesus Christ.
We believe that through the working of God's Spirit, it is a binding force, yet simultaneously a reality which must be earnestly pursued and sought.
We believe that this unity must become visible so that the world may believe that separation, enmity, and hatred between people and groups is sin.
We believe that anything which threatens this unity may have no place in the church and must be resisted.
We believe that true faith in Jesus Christ is the only condition for membership of this church.
Therefore, we reject any doctrine that absolutizes natural diversity in such a way that this hinders or breaks the visible and active unity of the church.
We reject any doctrine that professes that this spiritual unity is truly being maintained in the bond of peace while believers are alienated from one another and in despair of reconciliation.
We reject any doctrine that denies that a refusal earnestly to pursue this visible unity as a priceless gift is sin.
We reject any doctrine that maintains that dissent or any other human or social factor should be a consideration in determining membership of the church.
We believe that, in obedience to Jesus Christ, its only head, the church is called to confess and to do all these things.
Even though the authorities and human laws might forbid them, and punishment and suffering be the consequence.
We believe that Jesus is Lord, to the one and only God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Be the honor and the glory forever and ever.
Amen.